Joining us now is the founder and executive director of Liberty and Prosperity, Citizen Seth Grossman.
We use the analogy that the $2 trillion stimulus, it's absolutely awful, it's destructive, it's corrupting. You could say any bad thing you want to say about it. But we have a big picture of a soldier applying a tourniquet. And when someone is bleeding heavily, the first thing you have to do is stop the bleeding.
Yep.
And you do whatever it takes. So you put a tourniquet on to stop the bleeding. But if you don't fix the wound and stop the bleeding elsewhere, you're going to amputate the limb.
But we can't let this become a new normal going forward.
Right. But as long as people are afraid and as long as this disease is spreading, all these horrible things are going to happen to our government and our economy. So the top priority has to be stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
Now, as we're sitting here right now, I'm looking at the Johns Hopkins, Corona dashboard. And what it shows there's one country in the world that is not shut down. One country in the world where everyone's going to work, going to school, paying their taxes, getting paid, making a living. And that's the 24 million people who live in Taiwan, which is non-communist China, the only province of China not conquered by the communists. They have a total, and by the way, Taiwan was the first country to be exposed to the coronavirus outside of China, because lots of people on Taiwan have family, they have business on the mainland.
Sure.
So they were the first one to get hit, and yet the statistics for Taiwan, with no quarantine, with nobody, not shutting down the country, 322 cases, 5 deaths.
How do they do it?
That's 24 million people. Before I go there, look at the metropolitan New York area.
Oh.
New York City and the, 8 counties surrounding New York City have half the population of Taiwan, 14 million people. And yet they have 83,000 cases, 1,400 deaths. Half of the cases in the whole country are coming out of metropolitan New York City.
True.
So, of course, what's the difference? Why aren't we doing what Taiwan is doing? Well, the first thing is we have most Americans have no idea that Taiwan even exists. And to me, that shows the power of the Chinese communist regime in controlling the World Health Organization, the major media, the major corporations, the sports celebrities who get their contracts to play in China. Amazing power. We don't even know what they're doing. Now, what are they doing? Common sense stuff. They tell every family, take the temperature of everybody in your family every 4 hours. They're doing mass testing. When someone tests positive, they're quarantined. They go through everyone they had contact with is quarantined.
So rather than quarantine everybody, they're quarantining the people that they need to.
To put it another way, from our junior high days, instead of having the whole class stay for detention because one kid throws a spitball, you find out who has the spitball and you make him stay after school.
Yeah.
But, but that's what Taiwan did. And there are two reasons why we're not hearing about it, why we're not doing it. And they're both political. So, of course, you have the influence of the communist Chinese regime, which has either bribed or bullied virtually every influential politician, celebrity, health, UN agency. I mean, it sounds like conspiracy, but you start seeing, when the Bidens went to China, they came back with $1.5 billion. This has been going on for years. So the second reason we don't know about Taiwan or we're not doing this, and Dr. Fauci alluded this in his first interview, but we in America have this public health culture that is more concerned with protecting the privacy of a sick patient than the rights of the public to be protected. And this all started during the AIDS epidemic of the 1980s. I don't know if you remember, there was a blockbuster book called And the Band Played On a guy called Randy Schultz.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. And he came out, and at the time in the 1980s, you had these gay owners of gay bathhouses were making a fortune. And
Seth, let me go back. I'm not stopping you talking about the gay bathhouses, so no diversion here. But a CEO just wrote me, and I think it's also a very good point. In Taiwan, everyone wears masks.
It used to be like at the airport, if you suspected someone of being a terrorist, they met a profile, you would search them carefully at the airport. Now we search everybody at the airport because we don't want to be politically incorrect and hurt somebody's feelings by targeting a certain group. We no longer have profiling in our police departments. But yet the key to Taiwan is, instead of locking down the whole country, identify who has the disease and protect yourself.
I like that, actually. And then you don't destroy your economy.
Right. Well, first of all, if you want to get the inside information on Twitter, it's hashtag CCP or hashtag CCP virus. And these are English posts coming out of mainland China and Taiwan. CCP, of course, stands for Chinese Communist Party. So they've actually put the hashtag on it, calling it the CCP virus.
Wow.
And that's where you'll get all the original stories that not only are they having far more diseases, but did you realize that in many cities the Chinese Communist Party had celebrations? And this is all, they have the video of celebrations when America passed the 100,000 case mark. They actually had celebrations at Communist Party headquarters in China.
Sick.
To celebrate the fact that this infection was doing this to us.
Yeah, our friends.
But anyway, I just want to go back to the four things that Taiwan is doing. So one is everybody is involved in taking temperatures and mass testing. Now, we don't have mass testing in America because, as Dr. Fauci pointed out, he says, well, we use tests in America that if you're sick and you go to the doctor tests you to see what type of treatment to get, you know, to give you. The idea of testing millions of people to identify the handful who are sick and then isolate the handful who are sick to protect the rest of the population, that was ruled out. That has not been part of the DNA of our public health professionals since the AIDS epidemic of the 1980s, because, again, the emphasis was on patient privacy and political correctness.
21 minutes past the hour, early in the morning with Seth Grossman. We continue. Seth, time is yours.
Oh, thank you. First, I want to disagree with you on one point.
Sure.
I had a nasty, nasty flu or cold in late November. It lingered for a whole month in December. I actually had pneumonia. I've been coughing for 2 months because of that.
Yeah.
That was something separate. So okay. I don't want people to think, well, I was sick in November, December, so I probably had the coronavirus. I'm immune to it now. No, this is something different that first popped up in Wuhan in mid-December. Flights came to New York and Seattle, Washington, you know, in early January. So that let's not get two diseases mixed up. The medical culture, the public health culture, that you only give a test to get yourself treated. And once you get that test, it's HIPAA law. It's private. It's confidential. Nobody else could know about it. That culture is deadly in fighting an epidemic like this. We've got to take the view that everybody has to get tested. Who had it? Who is now immune?
Yeah.
Who has it and is spreading it? We've got to know who those people are. And just last week, I pick up the paper Saturday, and it says that somebody, you know, was in Shure Memorial with the coronavirus and was just getting released. It said they went to the emergency room of Shure Memorial Hospital on Wednesday. And so here we're finding out about it 4 days later. Wouldn't we like to know, if not who the guy is, where he was, how he got infected, who he had contact with after he was infected, how about his family? And by the way, you see the political correctness at work with Cape May County, because Cape May County, I forget how many cases they said they had, something like 13. And they are now reprimanded by the federal authorities saying, no, it's only 11 because two should have been reported out of New York because they're New York residents. So we've got to change the culture. By the way, so everything you've talked about is what Taiwan is doing. Everybody wears a mask. Everybody takes their temperature every 4 hours. There's mass testing, and they know who had it, who's immune. They know all those details. And they have one more thing that we didn't talk about. And that is the quarantines are enforceable, meaning they put an app into your cell phone And if you walk out of your house with, you know, with your cell phone, you get fined $10,000 for breaking a quarantine. You get fined $10,000 if they find out that you lied about your symptoms or you lied about who you had contact with. And if they call you up on your cell phone at home and you're not there, $10,000 fine for that. So they put teeth into it. Now people say that's harsh, that's undemocratic, it's against our rights. But which is better? Locking down just those who are a threat to infecting others, or do you have the class detention where you lock up 230 million people?
It's true.
But one point I also want to make is notice that what we've talked about for the past 20 minutes should be what everybody ought to be talking about what really is causing us to be unable to fight this disease as well as we could. And yet all you see on the news is Trump should have done this, Trump should have done that, he made light of it. The fact is, when Trump said, didn't impose all these urgent measures right away, were there a bunch of whistleblowers coming out of the public health agencies saying Trump doesn't know what he's talking about? Of course not.
No.
We would have been Italy and Spain by now if it hadn't been for Trump doing that just one thing.
Yep.
And if he was slow in locking down the country, and I understand why he was slow, because look at the economic damage.
Yep.
But he was reflecting the prevailing opinion of everybody in the public health establishment.
Correct. And remember, if we would have had a Democrat, a Joe Biden, for example, we know what he would have done. He told us he would have left those planes coming in and our planes going out, then our people coming back and their people coming in. He would have done that because he trashed the president for what he did and said it was wrong. Imagine the difference that, as you say, and I've been saying it on almost a daily basis, that one decision is, it's going to go down as one of the most consequential decisions that a president has ever made. And with the other party trashing him every step of the way.
Absolutely. So I'm just going to leave it with this. We've talked a lot, but we have a lot of information. I hate to shamelessly plug the website, but libertyandprosperity.com. I spent maybe 3 days talking to a whole bunch of our members, and every idea that they came up with, we put on that website right now. So for all the details, if you think I'm far-fetched by talking about the influence of the Chinese communists on our media or politicians on the World Health Establishment, just connect the dots and follow it. If you know, because the success story, when you have a country that doesn't shut down of 24 million people, with so close to people in the epicenter of the epidemic, and that's Taiwan, only 322 cases and 5 deaths after 3 months, that should be the top headline news. And they don't even mention it. I think Tucker Carlson mentioned it once, the first one on Fox News to break it, but nobody talks about it. Find out why, libertyandprosperity.com.